there.
Hi.
How's everybody doing today?
I'm terrible.
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. This is for those of you that, well, I think like 89% of our listeners are from the U.S., so happy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, America. Fireworks, hot dogs.
I had three
hot dogs today. One of them, I put macaroni salad on top of it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
And my dad's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I've had 10 beers, so I don't really know.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'll do what I want, old man.
And I don't recommend the day drinking thing because you start drinking early and then you stop. If you stop, your hangover takes off on you after the midday and you feel like you've got the fucking butt aids.
Butt aids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had a holiday weekend.
I hope people listen this week.
I hope they do too. I'm kind of wondering.
It'll be weird.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Just throw this on while you're hanging out with your mom.
Yeah.
Let her.
While I'm hanging out with your mom?
This week, we are going over the Dyatlov Pass.
Nailed
incident.
It. Russian. Russian.
I had to get that Russian accent going.
Dyatlov.
Yeah, I'm probably at some point going to pronounce it.
And that's
wrong.
Probably a good time for me to tell you that I'm going to do the entire podcast in a Russian accent.
I'll take it. That's fine.
Have I ever told you that I had a Russian boyfriend?
No.
He was very much into the vodka.
Ooh, of course, he's Russian.
I was okay with him drinking the vodka because every time he would drink the vodka, he would show me his butthole. And he had a very tight butthole.
Nice and firm.
Like this butthole was made just for me. And it was my butthole.
Nice and pink.
All right. I'm going to give it a rest.
We always get into the butt or poop or something or another.
There's one iTunes review that says we go a little bit overboard sometimes.
What are they talking about?
I don't know. There is one thing I'd like to touch on. The lady, apparently, someone put an iTunes review up that said,
"Ooh,
I saw you guys wearing your shirts at Magic Castle, Rolandia.
Yeah.
I think it was a girl because she said, my boyfriend and I, but
we don't judge.
Casting judgment.
The Brohio Nation, we're one people.
Yeah. Whoever you are, whomever you are,
we love you.
Send a message to us on Facebook, the Brohio Podcast, or Instagram, and we're going to mail you a free sticker.
Yeah.
We want to give you a free sticker.
I got it sitting right here, and I think staring at my beautiful face.
I think it's cool that our shirts got us a subscriber.
You know, that's what I typically like to do.
Yeah.
Subliminal messaging there. If I'm ever out in a group of people, there's a good chance that I'm going to be wearing my shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I'm wearing the shirt, I'm not wearing underwear. Because I'm always ready to party.
And check his pants if you can see if he's lying. All right. As we said, good thing we cut there for a second.
Cut the audio because something fell out of my insides.
It was all the beer.
God. They're like, what kind of beer do you want? I was like, just give me some of that Coors Light.
That fucking macaroni salad on the hot dogs.
Little did I know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going into to our topic at hand. I'm probably going to pronounce it completely wrong. So if I say Dyatlov, you're going to know what I'm talking about.
Don't kill us. We're not Russian.
Yeah, Dyatlov.
And if you are Russian,
we're sorry.
We won World War II.
Booyah! Before I get started here, but I got a lot of my... I don't know where you did a lot of your research from, but I played it safe and just went from the wiki. And I did a lot of... got a lot of it from a website called the Ermax Travel Guide, which had a lot of really cool information that you guys can check out if you want to see more into it. They go into details with the pictures from the cameras that the travelers were carrying during this. They go into, you get to see the journal entries from the journal that was recovered. It's a lot of really cool stuff if you want to kind of dig a little bit deeper and see what was going on while this was happening. And, you know, kind of get into the minds of, you know, the people that we're getting ready to talk about.
People that got butt fucked on the side of a mountain.
Yeah, exactly. And this incident is really cool because it's, you know, it's one of the big unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, it is
still to this day.
Yeah, there's no chance of this ever being solved.
Yeah, and a lot of it has gone. I'm blanking on the word here, but a lot of it has gone secret. What am I thinking? Or it's been kept secret.
I know it's sealed in the archives.
Yeah, they've completely sealed the incident. We'll get into that. The KGB's involved, yeah, of course, which is, you know, the Russian equivalent to the CIA.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that now. This all takes place February 2nd, 1959. We'll get into the actual incident of what happened, and then we'll go from there. So we'll tell you what happened first, so you know kind of know what's going on. There was a group of 9 hikers. Well, it actually started as 10. It was 8 men and 2 women. They were led by a man named Igor Dilatlov. That was good.
That was really good. I creamed.
They were hiking pretty much to reach this location called Otorten.
Mount Otorten, which stands for the translation is Dead Mountain.
Which is very
and it's also
dubious.
And it's been translated to don't go there as well. So
Yeah, do not go there yet. So chances are, if you have a place called Don't Go There local people,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't go there. It's probably named that for a reason.
Don't go there.
Now, this mountain is actually 10 kilometers north of the location of where the Dilatlov Pass
It was not originally called the Dyatlov Pass.
Right, this is the Ural Mountains.
It was in the Soviet Union. It was named after that. The leader of the group that, you know, one of the ones that died, it was
Igor.
Yep, it was named after him after the incident.
Yeah. Now these 10 people, and I'm feeling a little rebellious, so I'm going to attempt all of these names.
Yeah, and just to make everyone aware, I've completely left the names off of my notes because I had no interest in pronouncing any of these names.
I'm going to completely butcher them, but you know what? I'm a glutton for punishment, and I want to give them an attempt here. So you get your leader, Igor Dyatlov, Yuri Doroshenko.
All right.
Lyudmila Dubenina.
That's
a fun one.
Yeah.
Yuri Krivonishenko.
I think I ordered that once.
You get that from a Russian restaurant.
Yeah.
Alexander Kolevitov. Zinaida.
Kolmogorova. There you go.
Rustem Slobodin?
Slowbitch.
Slowbro, Pokemon. Nikolai Thibaut Brignoles?
Yeah.
That's kind of Spanish, but okay, that's my Spanish in high school kicking in right there.
She used to be in the Destiny's Child group.
Semen Zolotarovyu. Yeah, sure.
Semen is a mouthful. That name was a mouthful.
Yeah, that's a bad name. And then Yuri Yudin. Now, that's all 10. There's 10 names there. Trust me, don't count them. January 27th here. Like I said, it started on February the 2nd, but January 27th, Yuri Yudin, the last one that I said, he was the 10th member that was forced to go back pretty much due to an illness.
Yes.
So he luckily got sick and couldn't make the trek.
And he stayed in the last village.
Yeah, he rolled the good number there. On the 31st, I don't know if you have anything in between the 27th to the 31st. I got a lot of dates here, so the 31st, the group of people, the group of 9 arrived at the edge of a highland area and they began to prepare, you know, their climbing. They ended up storing a surplus amount of food and equipment to use for the travel back.
Smart idea.
Yeah, exactly. So these people knew what they were doing. They were very experienced climbers.
Yeah.
A lot of them were students.
Yeah, they're all college students from Ural Polytechnical Institute.
Polytechnical Institute from Ural, yeah. A lot of them knew what they were doing.
One of them had a master's degree in camping.
Yeah, I don't remember which one he is, but I'm pretty pretty sure.
It might have been Dyatlov. I'm not sure. There was an older one. I know that.
Yeah, there was the yeah. All these guys, all these people were in their low, like their young 20s.
Early 20s.
Yeah, early 20s. Except for one of the guys who was in his late 30s, maybe?
Yeah, he was 38.
38, yeah, that sounds right.
And he had the master's in camping.
Yeah, of course. Which, you know, that's obviously going to give you a good, like, you know, you're gonna have an advantage.
Yeah, I've got my master's degree in cash and checks and snapping necks, so.
Mine's in beer. And beer drinking.
School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Anytime I see someone on Facebook and their occupation or their school's listed as School of Hard Knocks, I'm like, keep on shuffling. Fucking trailer trash.
There is a reason I'm not friends with you. Now, they store all the surplus, so they're thinking ahead, which is great, even though it really wouldn't serve them well. No. Spoiler alert.
The Russian billy goat that killed them and ate them.
Yeah. Probably ooh, that's a good conclusion. That was on the 31st when this happened, January 31st. Now, February the 1st, so the next day, the hikers started to move through the pass. They planned to get over the pass, and they were going to make camp the next night on the opposite side. Now, at this point, the weather became really troublesome.
Snowstorm,
like, temperatures dropping, I think it was like to negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Wind chill
is negative 20, negative 30.
Yeah, so I mean this is not ideal conditions for nine people to travel through the mountains.
Nope. And where they set up shop for the night, they set up camp, was on the side of a mountain.
Yeah, side of a mountain. And of course, you know, with the snowstorms, they're going to have severe, like, decreased visibility, so they're not going to be able to. Yeah, they're not going to be able to see anything.
And later, years on down the road, they interviewed the guy that doubled back because of the sickness,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "Why did you think?"
I think it was 2012, actually, when I saw this that they made the notes.
Yeah, they asked him, "Why do you think that they would set up camp right there?" And his answer was, "Maybe he wanted to practice camping on the side of a mountain."
That's a fucking good idea in a snowstorm. That's like the most Russian answer.
Yeah.
Now, they ended up losing the direction in the storm, and they traveled farther west than what they should have. When they realized that they'd gone too far, they decided, you know, that's when they decided to stop and make their camp on the side of the mountain.
And they could have went less than a mile further and got to like a wooded,
like a forest area, forested area, and they could have had a lot more cover and a lot more shelter, and this whole thing probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too far away from them. Now Dyatlov had, before they left on this mission, before this hike, they had agreed that he was going to send a telegram to the sports club, that, you know, that they had gotten to the area that they needed to get to, which is called Visay. And that should happen any later than February the 12th. This is the 1st, so they're thinking they're going to get to their location within, you know, 11 days. Now, when the February 12th had passed and no messages had been received, you know, the club there, they didn't take immediate action because, you know, dealing with hikers, snowstorm, they realize, you know, things can happen.
Treacherous stuff, but it was a highly skilled group of hikers, and this was like a vacation to them, essentially. This was their thing. This is
what they do for
their
fun.
Hobby, yeah.
This is their beach for us.
I like to take a meat cleaver and just, you know, smack myself in the ass with it. That's my idea of fun. But these guys, they negative 20, negative 30, hell, let's go.
Fuck it. Let's go. Let's climb a fucking mountain. Now, relatives of the group, of the nine members, they had to demand that action be taken before they would actually send people out.
Yeah.
So
I know it's not my job as a Russian father to love my children, but you must go up on this mountain and
find my piece of shit, son.
See if I have to make another baby to keep my wife happy.
To carry on the name. Now, they sent out the first rescue operation on the 20th of February. So the 12th is when Igor said that they should be done. So this is 8 days afterwards. So they give them a buffer period of a little over a week.
The initial search and rescue team was, all it was volunteers and teachers from the institute.
Yep. So it was all people that they were essentially in connection with.
People that had no fucking clue what they were doing.
The first group goes out on the 20th. Now, the 26th, 6 days later, is when the searchers finally find their tent. Now, the tent is very interesting in itself because they find this tent, and it's really badly damaged, and it's completely abandoned. So there's nobody in the tent, and everything is left behind in this tent. Yeah.
By this point, the military had joined the search for the hikers as well.
Yes. And the search party, they were completely baffled at the fact that the tent was torn halfway down. It was covered in snow, not completely covered, but enough to where, a week had gone past, so snowstorms were going to happen.
So I heard one guy say, when I was doing my research, that it was completely covered in snow, which was not the case at all.
Right.
It was, I would say, 85% exposed.
Yeah, it was exactly what you would expect from a snowy mountain. It's typical, your typical snow precipitation that you're going to accumulate on a tent. Inside the tent, they found, I said that everything, they had all their things in there. This is including shoes, the group's cameras, which they were taking photos of the expedition, and the group diary was also left behind. So the tent itself, this is one of the most interesting things that I find. They can tell from the cut marks of the tent, because the front of the tent was cut open. You have your normal, anybody that doesn't know what a tent looks like, you have a zipper in the front, which is essentially your doors, which you can exit out of. They kind of fold open normally. This tent was cut open from the inside. They found a trail, and we'll go into this a little bit more, but they found a trail of 8 or 9 pairs of footprints leading away from this camp that they had set up.
Some of them were barefooted.
Yes, some of them were barefoot.
Some of them were wearing
only socks.
One shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very strange. So it's obviously apparent that they had to leave very urgently.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't take any of the things that they had gotten or brought with them. They couldn't keep anything that would keep them warm.
And they said that some of them were even just in their underwear when they left.
Yeah, exactly. There's all their clothes are left behind.
Which goes into my theory at the end. So
yes.
That in mind. They found them. Well, they found that they had left in just their underwear. Okay. Keep that in mind.
Sexy as fuck.
For the delicious Nicolicious.
Can you just imagine Igor?
Yeah.
Igor sitting there in his underwear all hairy.
I would like to tell you about my tidy whities. They are no longer in perfect condition because
he's got a sexy bead of water from the snow going down from his throat all the way down his down his happy trail.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sexy, sexy sight.
Let's do it.
Now, after about 500 meters, these tracks were covered in snow.
Yeah.
So that they have disappeared. And sorry for my phone. I forgot to put it on silent. Just ignore that. I'm a piece of shit. Now, once you go farther down, there's a forest. There's a large area of trees. At the edge of this forest, there's a large cedar tree. This is where the searchers found remains of a fire and their first two bodies. Yes. Those bodies belong to
We know what you mean.
Krivonoshenko.
There you go.
And Doroshenko.
Yep.
They were both shoeless and dressed in only their underwear.
Yeah. So
that's where it comes in. They were making sexy time.
We don't know.
Trying
that.
To keep warm.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
I don't know. We'll get into that, won't we?
Yeah, we'll get into that. As well as what was the terminology for the hypothermia when you take your clothes off? What is that?
Oh, I got it written down later on my
notes. I do too. We'll get into that.
Paradoxical undressing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Paradoxical undressing.
They did say that four.
Yeah.
Some of them looked like they were in poses.
Yes.
Like they were going back to the camp.
Yeah, they were making their way back.
I don't know how they would make that distinction. Like, if they got there and they were just frozen upright in, like, a walking motion. Like,
yes,
it very much looked like they were trying to return to their tent and make things right at this crime scene.
The only logical explanation that I can think with their reasoning for that is that obviously tracking their, if they can, well, no, because they didn't see all the signs of the trails washed away in the snow. Maybe they just figured that the way they were heading, they were going back to camp.
It's just another aspect of this investigation that makes zero fucking sense.
Yeah, and it's such a cool story, though.
It is.
Now, we found the two guys shoeless and only in their underwear. Now, they were under the large cedar tree, like I stated. The branches of that tree, about 5 meters high, so that's about 15 feet, 10 to 15 feet, those branches were broken.
See, I didn't read into that very much, because that just seems to me...
Anything could have done it.
He climbed up the tree to try and see the camp.
Or see if he can find any of the other people.
Fucking animal.
Or he could have been trying to get away from something.
Yeah.
If you go with the avalanche theory, they may have tried to climb up high to escape an avalanche.
I don't buy
into the avalanche that much.
We'll get into that.
We'll get into it. Now, between the cedar tree where those two were located and the camp, the searchers found three more people. That's Ms. Igor. So, Dietloff, they found him there. Kolmorogova, they found. And Slobodin. Now, these are the ones that who appeared to have died in poses suggesting they were going back to the tent.
Yeah.
Now, it appeared as if they were trying to go back up the mountain, but due to exhaustion and, the extreme temperatures, they died.
I've been there before, okay? Just give up.
I've been pretty fucking cold before, and a lot of my own doing.
You think the heat changes your
your
mindset? Extreme cold.
As a person that works outside year round, the heat I can deal with. The cold fucking sucks.
Exactly.
And I mean, Ohio's not. I mean, we're cold. We get cold in the winter, but we're not like Russia.
No.
Or even like other states like Michigan. Right.
They come out of the vagina with a fucking popsicle in their
hand. Yeah, and they would come to our winters and be like, what the fuck is this? You're a bunch of pussy.
Yeah.
Now, these five bodies, so these are the two we got that were that we found under the cedar tree. I said that we found, like we were a part of this, that they found under the cedar tree, and then the three there on the slopes, they were found on the 27th of February. All of these corpses... were barely dressed. So they had on their, your bare minimum, and they were all found within a line. So you can tell that they were leaving the camp. The first two, how I read it, the way that they pointed out is the first two decided to stay back, told the other ones to go ahead. They were going to set a fire, and the rest of the group went on in front of them. They were all found in a line, so the searchers were assuming that they pretty much were blown out of the tent. So
God damn,
these fuckers were blown.
Yeah.
Now the remaining four members, these poor fuckers. It took them the searchers another 2 months before they found the remains of the other four members.
That's rough.
Their deaths, these were the most gruesome. They were found, or they were classified actually as being, unnatural and violent deaths. We're going to get into a lot more of this here in a few minutes once we get into the actual investigation part of, the deaths and what may have happened. They were found on May the 4th. So, we're going back to, I think it was, February the 27th? Yeah, February 27th when the last group were found. So, May 4th is when these last four people were found.
Yeah, it sounds like someone did a really fucking stellar job on this search and rescue.
Yeah, they had the Boulder Police Department looking for these people.
This goes back to what I've said my entire life. If you have dogs, you should always keep a St. Bernard around.
Oh, man.
In case you have family that gets lost on a snowy mountain.
Shout out to Beethoven. What up, dude?
He was they tried to portray him as a shitty dog in the second one.
They're a bunch of fucking assholes.
Yeah.
So, May the 4th, they found the four remaining people under 4 meters of snow. Now, that's, 16 feet?
Yeah, they were in a ravine.
In a ravine, yeah. And they were about 75 meters farther into the woods than where the cedar tree was. These four appeared to be better dressed, than, their partners were. they all had layers of clothing on.
Yes, it appeared that they'd taken clothes from the dead bodies. That one of them, one of them was wearing like a fur coat.
Yeah, that was
a hat.
Zolotarov.
Yes, and Dubinina was wearing
a. That was her fur coat. Dubinina's fur coat was okay. Zolotarov's.
Yeah, and Dubinina's foot was wrapped in a piece of
wool pants.
Yeah, Krivoshenko's wool pants.
Yes, so they were essentially. This is another reason why they think that this group of people, someone had attempted to go back, because they were found. These people were wearing pieces of clothing from the other members,
which would have happened after the
they have
died. Yeah,
unless they were complete shitbags and just ripped them off their clothing.
Yeah, okay, we're going to play a little game called "Give me your fucking clothes."
Give me that sock. Yeah.
Give me your clothes, or I fucking kill you.
So we got all members accounted for now, essentially. Going into the investigation portion, this is where we're going to figure out what the medical examiners found with the bodies.
It was not an investigation. It was a legal inquest.
It was, yeah, exactly. The first five bodies were found, which is, you know, the two at the cedar and the other two on the outskirts of the woods, they started to investigate their cause of death. The medical examination found no injuries which would have led to their deaths.
All hypothermia.
Besides hypothermia.
All hypothermia.
Now, Slobodin had a small skull fracture, but it wasn't enough to be considered fatal.
I think I've lived most of my life with a small skull fracture. I think it accounts for...
That would explain a lot.
Sometimes people are talking to me and they say, "Hey, what? You're kind of slobbering on yourself a little bit." And I'm like, "Sorry. I
keep carrying on. I gotta get a beer."
I do this all the time.
This is very normal for me.
Yeah, so they did the legal inquest. So it seems like the group, the five, okay, they fled the scene of the camp for some odd reason. Something made them run away from the camp, okay? Something that did not get its hands on them. And they said, go, do it.
I gotta do it.
Do it. Oh, okay.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah. So they ran, something chased them away, essentially. They waited for the scene to clear, and they tried to go back to the camp.
Yeah.
And when they tried to go back to the camp...
They found all their dead friends.
They died.
Yeah. So they're, you know, saving themselves, attempting to save themselves, essentially, by gathering their clothing. Because, I mean, what are they going to do with the clothing after they're dead? You know?
Right.
You're going to want to save yourself. Now, we just went into the Slobodin who had the crack in his skull.
Let's move on to the ones that were fucked up.
Yeah, we're gonna get into these. We'll start off a little bit easier.
You hear some booms going on. There's a lot of freedom going on outside.
There's a lot of freedom going on outside this neighborhood. I live in a redneck area, so
there's some Donald Trump being dished out.
Yeah,
all over the fucking place right now.
They're shooting guns and popping fireworks. The four bodies. Going back to the four bodies. So we had the five bodies that they examined, which were hypothermia related. The next four bodies that they found, three of which had fatal injuries. You know, injuries that could be considered what would have been their doing.
And these are some fucked up injuries.
Yeah. Now, Thibaut Brignoles had major skull fracture, skull damage. And, of course, Dubinia, which we talked about a little bit, and Zolotarov had major chest fractures.
Yes.
Now, they said that the damage that was done to these three people was the equivalent of what would have been considered like the damage you'd receive in a car crash.
High-speed car accident.
Something that a human could not replicate.
I've also seen people say it was like equal like an industrial accident, getting crushed by a hydraulic type thing.
A hydraulic press.
Yeah, that's insane.
Have you ever watched the Hydraulic Press channel? Where they just fucking smash stuff with a hydraulic press.
Oh, yeah, that's delightful.
So good. It's satisfying.
Yeah,
so
I have
good.
No idea why.
It's so fucking sweet, though. Now, the funny thing with these injuries was that besides these fractures, there's no external wounds on these bodies where the fractures were.
Right.
So we're talking about fractured chest bones, but there's no bruising on the skin.
No cuts.
The
no
same thing with
punctures,
the skull.
No and abrasions.
It's very, very strange. And poor Dubinia.
Tell me about Dubinia.
Dubinia was the... She had the shit luck of the bunch.
She was a female.
She was the female. She was found missing her tongue, her eyes, parts of her lips, and other parts of her facial tissue and skull bones. Now, when the rescuers found her, she was supposedly claimed to have been found face down in a stream under the snow. And I believe this is the group of people who dug the den in the snow. And if you read about that, they dug a den in the snow and laid cedar branches on top of the snow as a barrier.
And now riddle me this.
Warm.
Here's where I start asking questions. So this investigation was open and shut for Russia.
Yes.
Right? They started it. They said, we're going to tell the public we don't know what killed them or who killed them. Case closed, file sealed, going in the vault. No one's going to know anything about this, right?
Right.
This, you're looking at temperatures at negative 30, negative 20 degrees, okay? So I would think up in those mountains, it pretty much hovers at freezing or below freezing. So why would she be found in a face down in a stream?
Alex Jones, damn it.
Yeah. In a stream of running water.
Yeah, it's really strange. We've already said this whole case is strange. My son.
Sorry. I opted for all girls.
We've already said this whole case is strange, but I mean, the further you go in, the weirder things become. She's face down in this stream under the snow.
Yeah, and the official word from the investigators is what happened to her face had nothing to do with the incident.
They say
they lighting fireworks.
They say that it's the state of decomposition that her body was in. Everything falls in line with the situation with like the elements that were current at that time.
Yeah.
So nothing seems real fishy to them. But I mean, you're going to have a person missing eyes and a tongue, and something happened to that. And if I remember right, they found blood in her lungs or in her stomach, which shows that she consumed the blood while she was still alive.
Right.
So she lost her tongue while she was still alive.
Yes.
So,
and while you're talking about being in stomachs and whatnot, it was also released that they had died within 6 to 8 hours of their last meal.
Yes, of their last meal, exactly. They could tell that, like, going, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode for JonBenet, where they can tell by the state of digestion of the food, of exactly, you know, how long it had been since they had eaten.
You can keep that job. I'm good. I'll keep on doing podcasts, making money and spending it, all right?
You see this piece of meat? This is Russian Yeti.
So let's get on to the theories, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I have much. I don't think I have much more. Oh, you know what? No, I do. I do. This kind of goes into the theories as well. We touched on the fact that some of the group had no shoes, you know, or only in socks or one shoe. A lot of the members, like we said, were found with clothing from other teammates. I guess we consider them that. But a lot of the clothing, not the bodies, had traces of high radioactivity on them. This is gonna kind of go into a little bit more of, you know, our
definitely goes possible into my outcomes.
Yeah, it really does play a large part in it. And one other thing here that I saw, that I think this may have been on the wiki here, that there was journalists reporting on available parts of the inquest files, so the investigation there. They claimed that these things stated these following examples, that six of the group members died of hypothermia and three of fatal injuries, which is consistent with what we've, you know, what we've already said. There are no indications of other people nearby.
Right, because they wanted to blame the Mansi people.
Yeah, which the Mansi people, which is a tribe that lives there, pretty much.
Yeah.
The tent had been ripped from within, which, you know, we've already talked about. They can tell by the way that the tearing of the fabric is. The victims had died 6 to 8 hours after their last meal. Traces of the camp show that all group members left the campsite of their own accord on foot. They did try to dispel the theory of an attack by the indigenous Mansi people. They stated that the fatal injuries of the three bodies could not have been caused by another human being, which we went into as well.
Right.
The ones that were consistent with the crash.
The footprints into consideration as well. There was no footprints besides the hikers.
And if they were fighting someone, they would have sporadic footsteps.
They would have bruises.
Yeah. And
cuts.
You would be able to tell there was a skirmish.
There would be some hair.
Yeah.
Blood. I know when chicks got in fights in high school, there's always balls of hair.
Always balls
or weave.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like a baby girl's weave coming out.
Can't get better floss than that. And also, released documents contained no information about the condition of the skier's internal organs.
Right.
And that's, and the, of course, the last, there was no survivors of the incident, obviously. The verdict here is that the group members all died because of a compelling natural force.
Yeah.
We'll get into a little bit of that here.
What
once
is
we get
that?
Into our, exactly. It's very...
It's nothing is what it is.
That's a very clinical...
clinical vague umbrella.
Very vague.
Is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's see here. That inquest actually ceased back in May of 1959 as a result of an absence of guilt. So they obviously can't say, you know, this is essentially the reason that they died. The files were sent to a secret archive, and photocopies of this case. This was back in 1959. The photocopies didn't even become available until the 1990s,
yes.
And even then, a lot of it was missing.
There's so much missing.
And
they released nothing in 1990.
Nothing. I mean, nothing good. It's like anything that's declassified nowadays. You'll have your black marks that's redacted for stuff that you can't see.
Right.
This is kind of hearsay going into this. There was a 12-year-old by the name of, his last name is great, a 12-year-old named Yuri Kuntsevich. I'm sure it's not pronounced like that.
Kuntsevich.
But you got the K-U-N-T at the beginning. I'm calling you Kuntsevich.
Yeah.
He actually attended 5 of the hikers' funerals. That's 5 of the 9, so over half.
Yeah.
And he states that those 5 people, that their skin was a deep brown color.
Which is consistent with, like, radiation.
With radiation poisoning or burns, yeah. And then another group of hikers, and this is a really cool thing as well, they were about 50 kilometers south of where this incident happened. They reported that they saw these strange orange spheres in the sky.
Right. And they went
to the north.
One of the film they recovered,
you can see
it looked like there was a final... The last picture taken.
Yeah, the very last picture.
Looks like it was of an orange orb.
Yeah.
But they can't really tell exactly what it is.
The pictures are really, really cool.
It appears that it's an orange sphere or
something.
Fucking aliens.
Yes, exactly. Let's go ahead and let's get into what I have as... Oh, well, is there anything you want to get into before we go into... The next thing I have are like some of the crazier, like, mysterious and unexplained things of the incident. So the first thing that I have as kind of a mysterious fact or question, I guess it's kind of a question. We kind of touched a little bit into the radioactivity of, you know, some of the clothes, the radiation exposure. Now, during the criminal investigation, someone, and we don't have any names of who did, but somebody thought it would be a good idea to test the clothes of them, of theirs, for radiation.
Yeah.
And the close of Yuri Krivonoshenko tested positive for the presence of beta radiation.
And you can go back to our episode on nuclear Armageddon. 1959 would have been an absolute heyday for nuclear testing
in Russia. Exactly.
Because them motherfuckers were dropping off shit.
They're trying to get us before we got them.
Break off chunks of the Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, their clothes tested positive for radiation, but the bodies did not. So, I mean, the question is, whose idea was it to just randomly test these people's clothes for radiation?
Yes.
I mean,
I get close to this clothes, I get the nosebleed, and I get raging diarrhea. We must test these for radioactivity, is my opinion.
I mean, if I was to find 9 dead bodies, my first thought, on the side of a mountain, my first thought wouldn't be, you know what? These guys may be radiated.
You know, my first idea, never mind. I'm going to skip that. We're not ready to go that direction.
Oh, man.
We've got to get some more listeners first.
Leave me hanging there. The tests were carried out between May 18th and May the 25th of 1959. On May the 28th, this is 3 days after they showed the presence of radioactivity, the case was closed.
Yeah.
They closed the case 3 days afterwards. And this is peculiar because, you know, you got the investigation into the incident, and at this point, the KGB...
she's missing her tongue. We got to figure it out.
The KGB takes it over.
Yeah.
It was originally the local police.
And let's just say how well known Russia is for being completely upfront and honest about all of their government dealings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
We don't meddle in American elections.
KGB, what the fuck do they know? Yeah. Kolevatov. He was the one, he kept his own personal diary.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knew about this diary.
I'm not sure. I know they...
They kept a group diary of
from the diaries and cameras, they had a really good pinpoint precision of where they had been.
Of what...
And their track.
Yeah, and of exactly what was happening to them. They laid out a lot of the weather conditions.
Right.
How far they made it, they set up camp.
Which goes back to how experienced of a group... this group was.
Yes, they all kept their notes. So we have a good timeline of exactly what was happening and when it was happening. Now, Yuri Yudin, the only survivor, he's testified.
He's the guy that went back because he was sick.
Yeah, he's the one that got diarrhea and had to leave. I don't really know if it was diarrhea, but
it's definitely diarrhea. Anytime it's the Brohio podcast, it's diarrhea.
Too many Zimas in the asshole, yeah. That'll do it to you. He testifies that Kolevatov had that diary on him that the last part of the trip, but they were never able to locate the diary. So who knows what happened to that?
Yeah, I know what happened to it. It's under Vladimir Putin's house right now.
He's just sitting there camping on it, reading it every night under the blanket.
Why can't these fuckers have easy names like Vladimir Putin?
That's a pretty easy name. I mean, maybe it's because we see it all the time.
Yeah,
but I mean, Kolevatov,
Boris Yeltsin,
yeah, Krivonoshenko. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what's wrong with Smith?
We should have did something more geared towards hillbillies.
Well, next time. Now. Judging from the pictures, at least one of the cameras that they had went completely missing. So I think they recovered 4?
More question marks.
Yeah.
Stuff that would ultimately nail down what happened here.
Exactly. Now, Zolotarev left the tent exposed to the natural elements, yet he still had time to figure out that he needed to take his camera along with him.
Yeah.
Because whenever he was found with his camera.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, I don't have it written down here, but from what I remember, this camera that he had was one that nobody knew.
Right.
That it was a secret camera, essentially. Yes. So.
I did read that as well.
Yeah. So where did that come from? How long had he had it? What was he doing?
That doesn't matter. I just want to know where it is now.
Well, the thing is that all the film in the camera had water damage.
Right.
And they couldn't physically get any of the pictures off of it.
Yeah.
So who knows what this guy was taking pictures of. And the fact that they recovered four cameras, and that's what they knew they had taken. And I think it's four, I may be wrong. And there's a random fifth camera. That's pretty crazy.
Obviously, when they hit the oh shit button to run out of the tent, there was the thought in their heads to say, we have to document what this is and what's going on.
Yes.
Because we might die.
Yes. That's all that I have for that. I think I'm ready to get into the theories.
Yeah.
If you're ready.
So, immediately we can rule out the Mansi people, which is a large theory. There wasn't the footprints to support it, and these people couldn't inflicted these type of physical damage on...
It was inhuman. It was an inhuman force that could have created this type of damage.
And another thing is, a lot of people point to the avalanche, which is kind of what their government hung their hat on, was the fact that this was an avalanche. But to discredit that theory, these were experienced enough hikers that they are not going to park a tent in the direct threat of an avalanche. Right. And even scientists have gone back and looked at the past and said that an avalanche here would have physically went around the tent. So maybe they had that in mind when they put the tent there, that an avalanche would go around us.
And not only that, but I mean, you have, you know, contradicting evidence showing at the location of where the campsite was, there's nothing there pointing to an avalanche.
Right.
You have the footsteps visible in the snow. You have a tent that's barely covered in snow. I mean, it's covered in snow, but not, you know, it's still standing upright.
Yeah.
An avalanche is going to destroy a flimsy tent. And then you have the bodies that were recovered that were in shallow bodies of snow.
Right.
And they all have injuries that are not consistent with an avalanche.
Yeah. And there's been over 100 excursions since then, and no one has ever seen or dealt with an avalanche in this location.
So I mean, it's
in my mind, I discredit an avalanche. And a lot of people say that's the only way they could get those type of internal injuries is the compression.
Yes.
Okay, I understand that, but that's also gonna hurt your outside as well. That's gonna leave, you know, bruises and marks on the outside. You're gonna have trees, all types of debris, rocks coming along with that avalanche. It's not just gonna crush your insides and leave everything else perfectly intact.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna show that something fucked you up.
Yeah.
to put it mildly.
Yeah.
The next theory that I have is a bear. Plain and simple, a bear.
A big old bear.
That could explain the trauma to the body. Or to the bodies, I should say. And the marks that were found on the cedar tree that were, you know, about 10 to 15 feet up.
And to me, I completely discredit a bear as well.
Yeah, and I understand that as well.
A bear is going to make you bleed.
It's going to cut you up.
Rip your skin. He's going to bite you. You're going to puncture wounds.
And it doesn't explain the need that they felt that they needed to cut the front of the tent open.
This could have been the friendliest bear in the entire world. Yeah. And he's just, I'd really like to pick these guys up and just give them a big hug and put them back down.
They could have easily just opened up the zipper and ran out instead of cutting it open. And there was actually multiple, they found multiple attempts to puncture the canvas of the tent that didn't succeed.
Fuck bear!
If a bear was coming at your tent, I think you would see claw marks in the side of the canvas or rips that are consistent with a bear attack. I have the infrasound next.
Yeah,
the Karman vortexes.
The Karman vortex street.
These are really interesting. What these are is essentially, it's a sensation made from wind, the way that the wind's going to travel over the mountains, in between the two, I think it's two mountains, and they're kind of in the middle of the two. And I guess the way that I can describe
when
it.
When I saw the scientific, representations, it was like dozens of cyclones moving around all in one area.
Yeah, it's essentially cyclones. Now, what it does it's infrasound. So it's essentially a sound that's going to come right into your ears. So you're going to feel it in your eardrum. It's like a sensation. Yeah. You're going to feel it, and it's going to vibrate the hairs in your ear, and it's going to make you feel...
It's going to make you go crazy.
You're going to get physical discomfort, panic attacks. What I notice a lot of times is, and I don't know if this is even comparable, but this is something that always freaks me out and I hate the sound of, when I'm in the car and I'm going down the highway, and if someone barely cracks the back window,
it's like,
yeah, it's like a helicopter sound in your ear. And it's just, yeah, it's just a woo, 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 woo. I would say it's probably something similar to that, but you're going to physically feel it as well.
Yeah, much more aggressive, I'd say.
Yeah, and I don't know many studies that have been done, but that's one of the theories of something that could have happened.
I guess the person that came up with this theory said that this ultimately would have driven the hikers insane and caused them to just...
To panic.
Leave the tent.
To flip their shit.
They're crazy enough to leave with no... socks on, but not crazy enough to fucking leave the camera. That just doesn't make sense to
me. It's sketchy.
Yes.
And the thing is that sucks about this is that all of the theories, they all have holes.
Yeah.
And you'll never know because all the fuckers died.
Except for my theory that I'm going to give you at the end.
Military.
And it's going to cover everything.
That's the next one that I have is the military. Is that what you want to go into, or do you want to save that for last?
No, we can go with that.
Well, I want to go with the funner one, which I would love to think that this would happen, and that's the cryptozoological explanation.
Bigfoot.
That's a big fucking Russian Yeti or a mink.
Right.
I didn't look too much into a mink, so I'm not too familiar.
I don't know.
I'm
sure they're hairy.
Yeah, you got mink coats. Is the same thing?
Very nice coats.
I felt them before. They're pretty fucking nice.
Minks are like small fucking animals. They're like little Tasmanian devils.
Yeah. This theory is pretty much, you know, it goes off of the fact that the injuries that were sustained to these people is something that, you know, something that would have to have superhuman strength.
Just like Bigfoot.
Or Superman. Maybe he got fucked up by Superman.
Right. Just like Bigfoot is the ultimate, you know, cryptoid in America.
Yeah.
The Russian Yeti is their holy grail of cryptoids over there.
The Yeti is an awesome...
It's essentially a Bigfoot.
It's a Bigfoot in snow. Yeah, it's a snowy Bigfoot.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Snowy. I want that to be the cause. just so I have more to talk about, but of course
he's probably gonna have a press conference tomorrow.
There's no
Alright guys.
It was me.
No, he's got a really high pitched voice.
Alright guys, I know you've been wondering for about 60 years now.
He's really intimidating, but he has a little kid's voice.
Those hikers, I heard one of them in distress and they attacked me, so I killed all of them.
Now,
and then I fucked the one in the face until her face fell off.
It was pretty cold, so it happened really easily.
Her face fell off in a stream.
I swear she didn't feel anything. I'll let you go into the last one, which is going to be the military.
Military parachutes.
Yeah. Parachuting mines. So, like I said,
yeah, mines, yep.
We were in the heyday of military weapons testing, especially when you... speak in the terms of Mother Russia. They were fighting, clawing to catch up with America, with what America had done to the world with the atomic bombs, okay? So there was some reports that there was a significant amount of mangled metal taken away from the scene here.
Yes.
Okay? So a lot of people say that they that the hikers got to this area and saw the mangled metal and then started to see the orange spheres and put two and two together, and that's when they fled the area.
Right.
But nonetheless, this theory is chalked up to parachute mines, which are mines that drop from the sky with a parachute, and they detonate a meter or two before they hit the ground.
Right.
And they produce damage to the body that is completely in line with what these people suffered, the injuries that killed them.
Yes, with the very compression, very little external trauma.
Right, it's all internal.
Yes,
the concussion from the blast will flatten your insides and crack your bones.
Yes, and going into the glowing orbs that were spotted.
And what is a fucking parachute mine going to look like falling from the sky? It's going to be an orange orb in the fucking sky.
Yes, exactly. So that's a lot of, you know, it's consistent with the stories and what it could be.
You have people listening that are going to say, okay, but mines don't have radioactivity, which was found on the clothing. Well, you're going back. This is a testing facility, so who knows what the hell they were dropping out of the sky, honestly.
Exactly.
It could have been anything. It could have been, you know,
dildos.
Yeah, a box of exploding frogs. Box of exploding dildos. God,
I bet Dubinia would have loved that.
Yeah, I wouldn't give to set on a box of exploding dildos right now.
Dildos. Just what I need.
No, we must stay. We must not run from this. This is for us.
I need something to warm up my pussy.
We must let these dildos save us from the Mother Russia.
with the military theory there, they use the animals to account for Dubinia's missing parts.
Yeah.
Which is very, very likely.
Right. I don't... When I read into the...
They don't give a lot of details onto how it looked. It could have been a clean cut from the tongue. It could have been, you know, pieces that you could tell were kind of jagged, like where it was bitten off. It doesn't get into a lot of that, so it's kind of left up.
For me, the only reason I would take this, the facial removal and the tongue removal into consideration is if I thought it was aliens.
Yeah, I think that's also one of the theories.
Right.
Is aliens, the glowing green orbs.
It was part of an experiment.
Yeah, which is, that'd be fucking sweet too. I would approve of that.
Whatever you do, don't take my socks, just take my tongue. Please.
I'm very shy about my feet.
Right.
I'm a mountain climber, they don't look that good.
Yeah. So, and this also goes into the correlation with the orange skin and the gray hair.
Right.
So,
all pigmentation supposedly was, from their hair was... was gray.
All correlate with, you know, weapons of mass destruction.
Radiation poisoning, and a lot of it.
Parachute mines.
Yeah.
And then we also get to the theory of, which this is, we said this earlier, the paradoxical undressing.
Right.
So when you reach a certain point of hypothermia, you start to lose your mind.
Yeah. Your body thinks that you're burning up.
You get so cold that you get hot.
Yes.
And you start to undress, but I don't think that's what these people were suffering from.
I think exactly how we described it. I think it was more so the people doubling back were like, you know what, they're already dead. They don't need these clothes. I need them more than they do. Feel like that in that situation, I feel like that justifies their nakedness. More so than...
I can justify the nakedness, you just wait.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know...
And to go back, I'm reading my paperwork now, and the more and more these Coors Light wear off, the more this makes sense. When we were talking about the mink.
Yes.
It's spelled
M-E-N-A.
Mink with an E.
With an E, yeah.
A mink is like a little gerbil, like something you would put in your ass, like a gay orgy type thing.
I know all about that.
A mink, M-E-N-K, is the same as a Yeti.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, it's not as... fun. I wanted it to be like a scary gerbil.
Pack like in Ghostbusters when the lady's coat comes to life.
Yes.
And it fucking takes off down the sidewalk.
That's fucking sweet.
Right.
Okay. Well, I that's all that I have. Do you want to go into what we think it was? I think it's pretty obvious. I think you kind of swayed me a little bit because I was thinking it was one thing. But I'm
well, there's one more theory.
Okay.
Which... What's our time look like right
now? We're about an hour right now.
Okay, this goes into the... There was a sexual
relationship
going on here.
Okay.
That some people did not like what was going on.
I fucking love this already.
So there was like these romantic encounters that some of them were okay, it's a negative 30, a negative 20. I don't care what kind of fucking tent you're
in. It's cold as shit.
You're not sleeping with your clothes off.
No.
The only time you're going to have your clothes off is for some hard, good old Russian fucking.
Yeah.
Some good, hard mother Russia, right? Then you're, you know.
Pooper.
So they were all half naked. And that's, there was like a big fucking fight because one was, you know, Boris was nailing
Boris.
Doris. And Klitschko didn't like it.
Bullwinkle.
So, but, and this would also explain, they didn't have injuries on the outside. They had big old Russian dicks. And these big old Russian dicks were breaking ribs and fucking clavicles from the inside. Not that far-fetched, am I right?
I don't think so.
But there's a lot of people that go on to speculate that say it's highly implausible, by all indications, and I'm quoting here, the group was largely harmonious and sexual tension was confined to platonic flirtation and crushes.
Oh, okay? Fuck that.
There were no drugs present, and the only alcohol was a small flask of medicinal alcohol found intact at the scene.
Vodka.
The group had even sworn off cigarettes for the expedition.
Ooh, that's impressive.
Furthermore, a fight could not have left massive injuries that one body had suffered unless they had gigantic Russian dicks.
Dicks.
Yes. So
that's plausible.
So here's, in my mind, okay, here's what happened.
Okay, let's hear it. This is the bomb right here.
They got the camera set up.
Oh, in the tent. Yeah, I forgot about the cameras.
They're doing some butt-smacking, ball-flapping Russian doo-doo inside the tent, okay?
Oh, yeah.
They're getting it on.
Yes.
And this guy is just, he's got this hammer, okay? And he's just laying the Russian rail, you know, all aboard, okay?
Yeah.
Someone wakes up and doesn't like what's going on. So they start to fight, and to prove a point, he cuts the fucking tent open, okay? And then, to further...
I'm gonna show you up till if I am by cutting open this canvas.
To further his point that he's trying to establish...
You fucked up, Igor.
He reaches down, and he cuts her fucking tongue out. Alright? They get outside the tent to continue the melee. And I've done accident reconstructions here. I know exactly what happened, right? So
this your computer software to show. Look
up, you get on Podcast Addict and you type in Dilatov Pass. There's like 100 fucking episodes. You guys can stop doing it because this is the answer. They got outside the tent and they hear from the woods, here's a fucking Yeti. Okay? So then the Yeti shows up. And about that time, the Yeti comes over to get his meal. And these fucking mines start falling from the sky, okay? And these sons of bitches take off running. The one group makes it into hiding, okay? But the other group, they run so far that they fall off a fucking ravine. And they die.
They're so dick drunk.
Right. And that's why everyone was half naked. That's why there's tongues missing. And the orange skin was that... We can chalk that up to a... special kind of Russian lube. I know there's some kind of lube over there.
I want to see this porn.
Right.
That's like the sexiest thing I've ever heard.
I have it on VHS.
Ooh.
But in all honesty, I have to chalk this up to Russian military testing.
Agreed.
They got to the site, okay. The orange orb started falling from the sky. They realized that this is something not... I should say exceptionally worldly. Yeah, okay,
something that they shouldn't be seeing.
So they began to run from where it looked like this would possibly be a landing site for whatever was coming from the sky.
Right.
Putting two and two together with the massive amount of scrap metal in the area, which is something they probably would have crossed their mind when they first arrived. Something fishy going on
that's
here.
That's something you're typically not going to see as you're climbing up the mountain. So, I mean, I would assume that's something that experienced hikers would be like, what the fuck's going on, guys?
And later on, this was known as a military testing area.
Yes, yes, that's something that was released later.
They ran, and at that point, it was too late. And they did sustain a blast, which ultimately, you know, killed some of them.
Did them in.
It didn't kill all of them, and then the ones that it didn't kill, they doubled back They died along the way.
Yes.
Problem solved.
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely agree.
I just think an avalanche, which is a very close second place for me, I just believe an avalanche would have caused far more trauma to the exterior of the body than what was led, than what they portrayed with their investigation.
I agree, and I mean, like I stated, I'm sorry, my kids are being completely loud and crazy right now.
It's fine.
They got pizza in them, so they're going crazy, they're bouncing off the walls, but I'm not going to cut it because I don't feel like doing all this over.
Yeah.
I feel like if there was an avalanche, going back to what I said, there's going to be a lot more evidence of them being covered in a lot more snow. Their tent isn't going to be... Right. The avalanche isn't just going to jump over their tent.
No.
We're talking about snow sliding down a mountain. So it's going to take out everything in its path.
Right.
They're supposedly, from what I remember reading, there were ski poles that were in the ground that they got pictures of before the, you know, the whole incident happened.
Yeah.
And then after the incident, those poles are still vertical and still intact. And that wouldn't have happened if there's an avalanche. Now, that, out of all of the incidents, or out of all of the conclusions of what it could be, the avalanche is probably number two, just like you said.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's been no proof of a Yeti. I would love it to be a Yeti, because that would be sweet.
Just the orange skin, the scrap metal, the orange, the overabundance.
It's consistent with radioactive.
Yeah, the witness reports radiation. The orange spheres, which would be something descending from the sky slowly.
Yes.
It was an experiment.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I feel like they just found themselves on the wrong end.
Wrong side of fate.
And it could be, you know, they could have been, it could have been something where the radiation could have been something from an area that they had been testing on for a while that they wandered into.
Or it could have been part of a detonation device inside. That's why it was such a small amount of radiation.
Yes, there's a lot of things that it could be, but I feel like that military experiments and military bombings.
And that's why it was covered up so quickly.
Yes.
And that's why nothing's been
classified. Because the KGB put their stuff they classified all of it.
A sealed vault.
Why? If the KBG is involved, there's some serious shit that's going to go on.
You can quickly dispel an avalanche, which is the only plausible thing of natural...
Yes, origin.
Yeah. Besides this Karman vortex, which just came out.
Yeah.
Within the past few years, this hasn't even been talked about until recently.
Right. And the thing with the vortex is the footprints leaving the camp, I feel like, are inconsistent with people who would essentially be being driven
out of their mind.
Mad.
Right.
Yeah, driven out of, like, it's like a straight line, straight down the hill.
It's
like you'd be scurrying.
It's a beeline.
Yes. I feel like if you heard bombs exploding, you're going to want to get the fuck out of there as fast as you can.
Run and take cover in a fucking tree line.
And get the fuck out. Exactly. Yeah. You're going to want to get in as much cover as you possibly can.
Yeah.
I feel like that has to be the answer. But unfortunately, we will never know.
Right. So that's a wrap for the...
Dyatlov pass incident.
Hopefully you hung around this long. Next week, we're not 100% certain what we're going to cover. So come check on us later on in the week. And also, the offer is still out there for anyone that wants to reach out to us with their paranormal experiences. We'd love to have you on the show.
I have a really good one online right now that I'm waiting on to record.
We've had a couple people reach out to us on the Instagram.
Yeah.
That are going to pass along some good people that are just like, hey, this is a little something-something, but I'm not giving you the whole thing, which leads me to believe that it's a good story. Got to be good. Or we're going to have them on the show, and they're going to be like, one time, I saw a ghost, and it scared the shit out of me.
Literally.
And then we're going to be like, all right, won't you tell us how the ghost touched you? Oh, it didn't touch me. I just saw it.
That was it.
That was it. I went back to bed.
I was really spooked.
Then I went downstairs and got a glass of rich chocolatey Ovaltine.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah. Or a Yoo-Hoo.
Oh, yes. But I feel like the person that I want to have on here once I get all of it, I think it's the story of the stories.
It's gonna be a fucking brain bender.
I have a lot of people that I know, but yeah, if you want to be a part of this episode where we talk about, you know, listener encounters or listener experiences, please reach out to us. Facebook, Instagram, however you want, your preferred method. It doesn't matter. email.
Brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
Any method, get a hold of us. We would love to talk to you guys.
Yes.
We love getting, you know, any type of a feedback or any type of recommendations or anything from you guys.
And keep hitting us with the reviews on iTunes.
Please keep it going.
We got a few weeks left to get the up and coming.
Everybody says it, but I really do feel like the people that listen to us are the best people ever.
I want to touch all of them.
Inappropriately and appropriately.
Yeah.
I really do thank you guys very, very much for listening to us. You guys are really what makes us do this over and over again.
Over 1,000 episode downloads this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't explain how much that means. We're really great.
Right about a month old.
We're just two fat dads from Dayton talking about stupid shit that we find interesting. Yeah.
I know about the Delta Fat Pass.
You guys are awesome. Thank you very, very much. From us here at the Brohio Nation, the headquarters.
Brohio Studios, coming to you live. Monster Jam.
Thursday. We thank you guys very much for listening, for keeping up with us. This episode should be out. Today's what, Sunday?
Yep, I'm going to put it up as soon as you send it to me.
So, it'll be out tonight, Sunday night, Monday morning. For everybody that is in the U.S., I hope you guys have an amazing 4th of July. I hope your weekend was awesome.
Be safe, don't drink and drive.
Do not drink and drive, come on.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob. And we are the Brohio Podcast.
Bye, guys.